to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Last night, I said that Christianity is uniquely verifiable. It can be tested. You can come with your skeptical muscles fully flexed and take a swing. Unlike the Hindu Upanishads, which focus on the believer's merger with the life force Brahman, or the Buddhist Tripitaka, which emphasizes the extinguishment of self and suffering, or the Islamic Quran, which centers on the nature and practice of submission to God, the New Testament revolves around a series of events said to have occurred between 5 BC and AD 30 in Palestine. This makes Christianity particularly open and some would say vulnerable to historical analysis. The logic is simple. If you claim that something spectacular took place in history, intelligent people are going to ask you historical questions. On the whole, Christianity has welcomed this. As I said last night, it's as if the Christian faith places its head on the chopping block of public scrutiny and invites anyone who wishes to come and take a swing. Now, a thorough presentation of the evidence for Christ would require many, many weeks. Perhaps I'll get a chance to do that sometime in the future. Let me make clear, though, that my aim over the next few nights is not to prove the Christian claim. My hope is far more modest. I want to outline the main lines of verification, of testing, open to the interested inquirer, so that you can see for yourself the broadly verifiable nature of Christianity. What follows then is not designed to convince everyone of the truth of Christianity. Personally, I doubt many people come to faith in Christ merely through the presentation of arguments anyway. What I want to do is just demonstrate that of all the great religious claims in the world, the Christian one is the most easily and widely testable. If God has left the world with a tangible signpost of his presence, the one found in Christianity provides us with a worthy place from which to begin the search. Well, with this aim out in the open, let me now begin to outline just a few of the lines of verification for the claims about Jesus Christ. The first line of evidence has to do with the quality of the documentary evidence. How good are the actual New Testament documents we have in our hands today? I want to say just four things about this. Firstly, the language of these documents is not some dead, strange language which no one understands anymore. It's simply what's called Koine Greek. And it's a very simple and widely understood language. You can be totally confident that what you read in a modern English translation of the Gospels today is a direct and accurate rendering of what was penned in the first century. No problems there. Secondly, the age of the documentary evidence is really impressive. For writings as ancient as these, scholars never expect to find the original document itself. Instead, they hope to find copies of the documents that are as close as possible to the date when the original document was penned. So, for instance, you know the oldest available manuscript of the works of Plato, who died 347 BC, is a copy made in 895 AD, right? That's a gap of more than 1,000 years between when Plato penned the document and the actual manuscript copy we have in our hot little hands today. But because ancient copying techniques were on the whole so precise, historians have few qualms relying on this document as an accurate copy of what Plato wrote. By comparison, you know, the earliest manuscript copies of the Gospels are dated around AD 200. That's just 120 years after they were first written. For ancient documents, that's about as good as you could hope for. Thirdly, the volume of the copies we possess is overwhelming. For the writings of Plato, Aristotle, Julius Caesar, Tacitus, and the other ancient giants, you know, we possess only a handful of separate manuscripts, seven here, four there, and so on. As exaggerated as it sounds, you know, for the Gospels, that's not including the rest of the New Testament, just for the Gospels, historians have approximately 2,000 manuscript copies to play with. It is no exaggeration to say that the New Testament is the most plentiful group of ancient writings ever found, by a long shot. The fourth thing to say about the quality of the documents about Jesus has to do with the stability of the ancient copying process. Did you know that we can compare copies of the Gospels produced, say, in AD 600 with copies made in AD 200? That's a time gap of 400 years between them. And when we compare these two documents, we can confirm the high accuracy of the copying process. Historians in the field have absolutely no problem agreeing that what was originally penned has been carefully preserved. To quote the Encyclopaedia Britannica, compared with other ancient manuscripts, the text of the New Testament is dependable and consistent. Well, that's four things you might want to know about the manuscript copies of the New Testament. The language of the documents is easy to translate. We have thousands of copies of them. They are very, very old. And we know for sure that they were accurately copied. But there's more that can be said. How do we know that the Gospels about Jesus aren't just plentiful, well-preserved legends? How good are the Gospels themselves as historical sources? There's a million things we could say about this. Let me just say three. First is the date they were composed. I mentioned a moment ago that the manuscript copies of the Gospels we possess were copied quite close in time to when the original document was penned. But equally impressive is the fact that the original time of writing of the Gospels was very close in time to the events themselves. The first Gospel was probably written in the mid-60s AD. That's just 30 years or so after Jesus' death. All of the Gospels are written within 60 years of Jesus' death. Now, for ancient history, this is about as good as it gets. Tacitus, for instance, this is the greatest of Rome's historians, wrote his account of Emperor Tiberius almost 100 years after the emperor's death. But this poses no problem for the historian because we know that works like this were not composed out of thin air. They relied on existing sources dating back closer to the events. This connects with the second thing I want to say about the Gospels. To write any work of history, whether ancient or modern, an author uses sources, whether eyewitness testimonies, logbooks, court records, or previously written histories. Did you know that the same is true of the Gospel writers? Most New Testament scholars discern behind the Gospels three or four separate independent sources, each composed prior to the Gospels themselves. When these sources are independently analysed, the picture of Jesus that emerges from them is strikingly similar across the sources. Independently of each other, they describe a teacher, a healer, and one known as the promised Messiah who died and rose again. When independent sources say basically the same thing about an event or person of history, it's usually a very good indication of historical reliability. Thirdly, the incidental historical accuracy of the Gospels is also important. When the Gospels say something just in passing about, say, the architecture or politics of a particular town Jesus visited, we can usually confirm these details by modern archaeology or literary analysis. A classic example is the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, where mention is made of a bathing pool Jesus visited in Jerusalem, which, according to John, had five rows of columns. Now, because archaeologists had dug up all over Jerusalem without finding a pool with five rows of columns, there was initially some doubt cast over the accuracy of John's Gospel at this point. Then, as digs progressed, guess what? A pool was found in the northeast quarter of the old city of Jerusalem, and the remains of five rows of columns could still be found. Many, many other examples are available to the interested inquirer. My point is really simple. The Gospels about Jesus can be tested for their age and their reliability. And when you do that, you're confronted with some pretty compelling evidence. Have you looked into the evidence?
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.